Alrighty, take your Bibles, go to 2 Kings chapter number 11. Tonight is going to be extremely simple. I'm going to tell a story, then I'm going to make four applications from that story, and we'll be done this evening. I hope that the simplicity of the truth does not take away from the importance. I think that this can apply to all of us, regardless of where we are at in our lives, whether we're young folks, whether we're seasoned veterans at living. I think that regardless of the status in society, whether you're financially well off, whether you struggle, wherever you find yourself, I truly think that in some way, the truth of this evening can apply to you if you let it. 2 Kings chapter number 11, I do not have time to read the whole story, although I will tell an abbreviated version of it. We'll start in 2 Kings chapter number 11, look at verse number 1. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal seed. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. He was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. We'll tell this story in just a minute, but before we do, let's read two more verses over in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. 2 Chronicles chapter number 24, just the first two verses we'll read this evening. Joash was 7 years old, beginning in verse number 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for the freedom, the availability, Lord, to be here tonight. Lord, we do ask your hand upon all those that aren't feeling well, Lord, those that are sick. Lord, we ask that you would just give the doctors wisdom, Lord, that you would touch their body, Lord, that you'd return the strength, Lord, as necessary. But Lord, those of us that are here tonight, Lord, we need something from you. Lord, we ask that you would take the word, Lord, the truth that's been prepared. Lord, that you would allow it to be clear. Holy Spirit, we'll yield ourselves to you as we listen to the truth as it's preached. We ask these things in your name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 11, we read several verses. Gives a little bit of a preliminary background to the life of Joash. Now, we find before King Joash, there was another king whose name was Ahaziah. Ahaziah was not known as a good king. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Ahaziah was taken down by his own staff. He was actually assassinated. God had one of his men assassinate King Ahaziah. Now, when Ahaziah had died, Ahaziah's mother desired to be the one in control. Ahaziah's mother, her name was Athaliah. Now, I don't know of a lot of people that are like this, but in my opinion, there's not a level of evil that is quite to this extent. Athaliah was so greedy of power that she killed her own grandkids. She desired to be the one who was ruling the kingdom. In order to do this, she had to make herself the heir, the rightful heir of the throne by destroying and killing her own family. We read in 2 Kings chapter number 11 how Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, which was the son of the deceased king. This is Athaliah's grandson. She thought she had got them all, but she didn't. We find that Jehosheba, which would be future king Joash's aunt, his aunt saves Joash from Athaliah. And I like what she does. She goes to the house of God for help. And we'll find that Joash for 6 years is hid in the house of God. For 6 years, he would be protected and he would learn from a preacher whose name was Jehoiada. Athaliah would rule the kingdom for 9 years. But we will find that Joash was 7 years old. We read earlier of how Jehoiada, God's man, went and basically procured an army and brought them to the house of God and revealed to these loyal citizens, said, look, this is the true king. And they would leave from the house of God to go to the throne. And these captains would be set in different places. Athaliah will flee, but she will not get very far until she is killed. We find that King Joash is set up at the age of 7 to reign in Jerusalem. Now, he will reign for 40 years. We'll look at the end of his life at the end of this message. But there's a phrase in 2 Chronicles 24 in verse number 2 that I want to draw your attention to. It is a common oversight, but I think in this one little sentence we will find the message from this evening and be able to apply it to our lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse number 2. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Everybody likes that. It's encouraging, especially in a wicked generation. But I want you to notice the last sentence. All the days of Jehoiada the priest. So Joash does right in the eyes of the Lord, but he only does it for the lifespan of the man of God that was in his life. Joash's life was spared by God, and Joash was used by God, no doubt, to help turn a kingdom back to God. 2 Chronicles 24, 2, we find out that he did right in the sight of the Lord. In verse number 4 of 2 Chronicles 24, we find out that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. He had a mind to rebuild the house of God. He wanted to get the Israelites back into God's house. He wanted to restore God's house and his influence in his kingdom. Verse number 5, he gets the people excited about serving God. He gathers together the priests, the Levites, and says, go out into the city of Judah. Gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hasten not. But we do find that as the story goes on, they're able to gather the money. They're able to hire people to repair the house of God, and they even had enough money to remake some of those artifacts that had been stolen or destroyed. We find that Joash was used by God in verse number 14 to return in obedience through sacrifices in the kingdom. Verse number 14, and when they had finished it, they had brought the rest of the money. And let's see here, that's the wrong verse. But we find here, at the end of verse number 14, that they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. We find that Joash is able to do right in the sight of God. He's able to rebuild the house of God, get the people excited about serving God. And he's able to return the people to their sacrifices. Now that sacrifice was not salvation, but it was a drawn attention to Jesus Christ. It was a something that had not been done for many years. He was returning the people to the importance of obedience to God. But we find in verse number 17 a turn in the life of Joash. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, it came to pass that the princes of Judah had made obeisance to the kings, and the king hearkened unto them. We'll find in verse number 15 that Jehoiada waxed old, was full of days when he died. He died when he was 130 years old. We find in Joash's life a change. And the title of this evening's message is just that, Dealing with Change. For a long time in Joash's life, he had a constant. For much of the 40 years, we find that Joash had a man of God who stood by him and who helped to direct his actions in his life. We find almost immediately between verses 15, by the time we get to verse number 17, Joash turns his back on everything that he had been taught, and he actually begins to do everything that his father had done. He begins to undo all of the good that he had spent a majority of his authority as a king trying to get the people to do right. He undoes much of that. We need to understand in our life several things. Let me make several statements and then I will apply it to us. Number one, God gives us constants in our life. God gives us things in our life that will not change when things around us do change. For instance, the Word of God. We find out that the Word of God has been tried. We find out that the Word of God, the same words of God that I hold in my hand tonight, are the same exact words of God that David had and that Abraham had received. We find that in our lives, God gives us things that when other things change, we can fall back to something that does not change. The Word of God never changes. We also find that He Himself is a constant in our life. He said that, "I am the Lord thy God, I change not." The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. He is that which was, He is that which is, and He is that which will be. God never changes. When we look in our life and things around us do not work out the way maybe we think they should, or as life naturally changes, we need to understand that there are things in our life that do not change. God's Word does not change. God Himself does not change. And His calling on our life does not change. The world and the circumstances of life have never been an excuse for a child of God to not obey. Circumstances in our life has never been an excuse for a Christian to not do what God has called them to do. To be a testimony. To be a light. To be salt, to be a witness, to be a beacon in a dark and a dying world. Regardless of what happens around me as a Christian, I know that God's Word, God Himself, and God's calling on my life does not change. Other things in my life may change, but I know that these are constant. God in His Word warns us that life would change. He warns us about government, about finances. And he warns us that even life itself changes. As we get older, our life changes personally. And as we get older, people around us change. Look at a picture of yourself of 15 years ago, you've changed. For some, there's less on top and more in other places. You can tell that there's an obvious change. That's a part of life. It's not something that you can stop. It's not something that will ever change. God warns us that life is going to change. And that is why that in His Word, God admonishes us to build our lives on a solid foundation. He tells us that we need to build our lives on those constants that He has given us, and not to rely on the things that will change in our lives. believe that's exactly what he said in Matthew chapter number 7. He tells a parable of two different men who decide to build a house. One builds a house on a rock, that sure foundation. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That rock was Jesus Christ. That rock was His Word. That rock was the same truth that He built the church upon. That house, that life, that foundation remained the same because of that foundation upon which that man built his life. But we find another individual, verse number 26 of Matthew 7, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We find in Joash's life that great was the fall. Great was the destruction of a good man that was used by God, because he did not build his life on the constants that were in his life. His life was built upon the shifting sands of time. And as long as life was good, he was okay. But as soon as the storms came, as soon as the rain fell, his house fell, and great was the fall of it. We need to build our life on the promises of God's Word. We need to build our lives on God's Word itself. We need to make sure that in our life that we deal with change properly. Young person, change is not to be feared. You're getting older. You're looking at moving out of the home. You're looking at the future, and it becomes a little unclear to you. Change is not to be feared. As you get older in life, some of you folks that have gone from your middle years to you're moving on up in years, life is changing. You're not able to do the things that you were once able to do, or you're not able to do them as fast. Things in your life are changing. Change is not to be feared, but we need to make sure that we know how to deal with the change that comes in our life. Let me give you four very simple and basic Bible principles from this story dealing with change. Number one, we find in Joash's life, we need to learn to develop our own relationship with God. You see, Joash developed a relationship with God through God's man, but he never knew God himself personally. Joash had a godly aunt. Joash had a godly man of God in his life. Joash had godly influences in his life. When all of those faded away, was revealed in Joash's life the lack of a personal relationship with God. Others' relationships with God will not work for you. Teenager, your Sunday school teacher, your parents, your pastor, or any other individual in your life that you might look to as a spiritual leader, their relationship with God will not work for you. When you're out on your own and things change and you find yourself by yourself, we will find out what your relationship with God is. Joash grew up in church. For 6 years he was hid in the house of God. Joash did a work for God. He did many great things for God. But just because you work for God, and just because you see His blessings in your life, does not mean that you know God. My biggest fear, as somebody who works for the church, my biggest fear, as somebody who lives in and around spiritual things, my biggest fear is that I become so comfortable, that I become surrounded by spiritual things, that I grow lax in my own personal walk with God. Have you done a systems check recently? Grace Baptist Church is a great church. Grace Baptist Church has a great pastor. Grace Baptist Church has great godly people in it. But their relationship with God is not good enough for you. Just because you rub shoulders with somebody who is spiritual does not make you spiritual. It is vitally important that you develop that own personal walk with God. It is important that you develop that own relationship with God. other's relationship with God will not work for you. Just because you work for God and see His blessings in your life does not mean that you know God. My relationship with God is unique. It is personal. And it is my choice. You see, as soon as the spiritual people in Joash's life were gone, he went astray. His relationship with God was in name only. He only knew God through God's man. He only knew God through the works of God that he watched God do in through his life and the life of those around him. But he himself did not personally know God. And we find that after verse number 15, when Jehoiada dies, that Joash turns his back on God because he didn't know God to begin with. You see, a trial never destroys or causes somebody to go astray. A trial only reveals what you already were. This trial in Joash's life did not cause him to turn away from God. It simply revealed to him his relationship with God. We said, number one, you need to develop your own relationship with God. Secondly, and importantly, do not blame others for your shortcomings. Don't be an individual that walks around and sees the flaws of everybody else, but does not see your own flaws. And I'm not talking in great sin. I'm not talking in gross worldliness. But when is the last time in your own life you asked like David did, show me my secret sins? A sin is anything that keeps you from getting close to God. Don't blame others for your problems in life. Do not ignore the faults in your own life. You see, Joash failed to see who it was in his life that deserved glory. Joash failed to see in his life who it was that brought about the great works. In verse number 17, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, and the king hearkened unto him. And look at the beginning of the next verse. It says, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. He got proud. These princes, these leaders, saw a godly man off the scene now, and they saw their opportunity. And they go in and they begin to brag on the king, and the king gets proud. And instead of saying, it was God who did the work through me, we need to stay faithful to him, he failed to see who receives the glory in his life. And he allowed these individuals to influence him to leave the house of God in which his life was built upon. Joash failed to see the importance of a relationship with God. And we find him turning to the false gods of his fathers, who before him had sinned greatly. And they served groves and idols, and the wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Joash turned to the false gods because he did not develop his own relationship with God. He ignored the warnings from God's man. In verses number 19 and verse number 20, we find that prophets were sent to him to bring them again to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. God gave them a warning. He said, you've not gone too far. You need to return back to the house of the Lord. You need to quit serving the idols, the false idols. We find that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, the very man who had died. No doubt that Joash and Zechariah grew up together. They knew each other. They were friends. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, stood above the people and said to them, thus saith the Lord, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, and he hath also forsaken you. And in verse number 21, they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king. King Joash went from living with the man of God, living in the church, being used of God, to persecuting the work of God. At the king's commandment, a friend, a son of a hero was stoned. He ignored the warnings of God, and his bitterness caused him to find comfort in the death of a godly person. We find out that Joash did a complete 180. He went from loving God, from serving God, to turning his back on everything that he had been taught. Because he ignored his own downfalls. He ignored the things in his own life that were not right. Life will change. And when life changes, oftentimes you find yourself looking at yourself. And you, if you're not careful, can build a false persona around you. And you can convince yourself that you're okay. But be careful that you don't find yourself as Joash did and going a complete opposite direction. Do not base, number three, doing right on who is around you. See, Joash only did right when there were strong leaders around him. He had a strong godly aunt. He had a strong godly man of God. But there will come a time in your life when you must stand on your own two feet. So right now, when you've got the strength of godly people around you, begin to form habits. Begin to form a routine. Begin to develop that walk with God now. So that way, when those godly people are gone from your life, you have already developed a habit of good, doing good things, of walking with God. See, Jehoiada did right based on who was around him. As long as Jehoiada was in Joash's life, he served God. But soon as those godly people were gone out of his life, Joash was influenced by the young people of that generation. He was influenced by the godless people of that generation. And he began to be swayed to do whatever everybody else said was right to do. How do I deal with change? Number one, I need to develop my own relationship with God. Number two, I should not and I need not blame others for my shortcomings. I should not base doing right based on who is around me. And lastly, I need to understand that Bible principles do not change after a godly leader is absent from my life. God never changes. His word never changes. So I should be loyal to his word, not to the people that he has placed in my life. Every one of us have a godly influence in our lives that we love, that we've looked to. But one day that godly person will be gone. What are you going to do in that day? Just because that godly leader in your life is gone does not mean that right changes. Just because that godly leader in your life is gone does not mean everything that they taught you was wrong or that is okay to change. Change is a part of life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Joash had the best teachers. He had the best leaders. He did more for God than many before him, and he experienced many of God's blessings on his life. Yet sadly, we find at a early age, Joash dying because he did not properly deal with change. In verse number 24 of chapter 24, the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord, God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases. His own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David. They buried him not in the sepulcher of the kings. We find an individual who did great things for God, but at the very moment we find the strong and godly people of his life disappearing, he turns his back on those things that he had been taught. And we find him dying the same exact way his father died. He was killed by his own people. He was judged of God because he did not properly deal with change. In your own life, you need to accept the fact that change is a part of life. We look at the political structure of our country. We are in unprecedented times. We don't know where things are going. When we look at the world today, we're looking at a world of people that seem to be colder than ever to the truth. But just because things change does not mean we need to change what we are to do. We are not to change based on the times. You need to accept the fact that change is a part of life. You need to learn how to properly deal with that change. Develop your own relationship with God. Do not blame others in your life for your shortcomings. You need to learn to recognize the faults in your own life. Do not base right or wrong on who is around you. And you need to understand that Bible principles do not change after a leader is absent from your life. Joash, spared by God to do a great work for God, but the moment that what he thought was constant in his life was taken away, he turns his back on God. Christian, you need to make sure that your life is built on a solid foundation of God's word, not on your relationship with godly people. Although that is important, but those people will one day not be here, but God's word will always be here. You need to make sure that your relationship with God is right. Do not allow your life to have a great fall in it, as was mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, and as we saw in the life of Joash. Purpose in your heart, as Daniel did, to do right, to not base right on the circumstances. Change is a part of life, and you need to learn to deal properly with it.